And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Max Cohen and Yanis Janaeus. This episode, we're going to be discussing a 2-0 victory for Fulham against Ipswich Town on Boxing Day at Portman Road. We have much to get through, but before we get going, I want to welcome one of my co-hosts who's with me right now. He was at Portman Road. Max, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Russ. Always feeling better after a good Fulham victory. How are you?
I am well. Listen, I look forward to going through this with you. Yanis will be joining us shortly. He's just having some computer issues, and he'll be joining us. Just want to mention, as we start this show, Max was at the match. Unfortunately, at the time of this recording, I have not seen the replay. The replay has not been made available. So Yanis and I have not seen the replay. We have seen the highlights. I'm sure Yanis has seen the highlights as well. So Max is just going to walk us through the match and just tell us everything that he saw, and we're just going to basically comment on it. So, Max, I'm going to start with you just from the beginning. Let's just start with your opening thoughts of what you watched yesterday at Portman Road, a huge, massive Fulham victory.
Yeah, sure thing. I think that is a good point, is that it really was a massive Fulham victory and that they were completely dominant and the most dominant I've seen them in quite some time. We've known Fulham have really prided that kind of possession style of play more this year. And for the first half an hour, I'd say the possession stats were probably 70-30. Fulham just completely walking over Ipswich. And I was really surprised because I'm not, obviously Fulham were higher in the table than Ipswich, but not too much higher. And it was, I think, around 5 points that separated them at the start of this match. But the gulf in quality was really much larger than that. For the whole first half, Fulham completely dominated. But the interesting part was for the first probably half an hour, 25 minutes, they didn't really have any clear-cut chances to show for it. And it was a lot of passing around the back, a lot of possession in less dangerous areas. And the kind of final third, there's something lacking there. But they really got kind of the spark they needed to really push on. When Chris Martin, I think everyone's probably seen this goal, brilliant free kick goal from around 25 yards out. And that really was a catalyst that really opened the floodgates in terms of the Fulham attack. Really great strike from Chris Martin. And actually, from that distance, I was saying to myself that I think this was probably Kearney range. But I was surprised when I saw Martin step up. But just like he did in the 5-0 win over Reading a couple weeks ago, really great free kick low into the bottom corner. And then at halftime, Ipswich changed around the formation a bit. They threw on David McGoldrick and Leon Best in a bid to put two up top and try to open up the game. And for probably the first 5 minutes, the game opened up a bit, and Ipswich probably had their best spell of the match. But Fulham grew into more again. Grew into the match and began to dominate really again. And that was kind of the story of the whole game. Really attack after attack from Fulham. And they really, I think people said on Twitter, I've said, of course, it really should have been, could have been easily been 5 or 6. Flor Diite, in my opinion, was a brilliant throughout the match, and he should have had a hat trick. There's no doubt about it. He rounded the keeper once and put it wide with an empty net from a tight angle. He was wide open at the far post and shanked a shot. And then near the end, he was through again and hit it right at the Bielkowski in the Ipswich goal. And so it really was a three clear-cut chances that could have easily made it much fun than it was. And for a while, attack after attack from Fulham, but no second goal to kill off the match. And by last 10, 15 minutes, I think in the way, and there was kind of a nervousness was beginning to set in because we've kind of seen this before with Fulham, in which they kind of get the lead, playing very well, but can't quite kill off the match and let other teams back in. Of course, we saw it against Wolves a couple weeks ago as well. But crucially, in the 78th minute, Ragnar Sigurdsson got his first Fulham goal, a great header off the corner to make it 2-0, and that really iced the game for Fulham and gave us all 3 points. And after that, it really was a breeze, and it was 2-0, but that scoreline really flattered Ipswich in many regards. Probably one of the most impressive Fulham wins I've seen in a while.
Okay, very good there, Max. And I want to go right back to you because I was just checking on Twitter from some of the Ipswich Town supporters, and this is especially in the first half. Did it seem like they were the away team? They were playing like the away team, and this is just about the dominance of Fulham. Would you agree with that?
It really did. I was so surprised at how little Ipswich offered. And to me, a couple of the players really seemed like Sunday League lads just off the street because they were just really long ball stuff, no possession. They really sat back and defended rather than taking the game to Fulham. And it was they made the game very, very easy for us because, as you know, we like to play out of the back. And for many times in the first half, you know, Budden and Ream exchanged some kind of nervy passes. Neither of them are too great technically on the ball. But they really let us play, let us build up from the back without any pressure. And that really allowed Fulham to put their game on them. And just very poor display from Ipswich. And it was just very casual. Real intensity made it very easy for us.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, while we wait for Giannis, I thought what I would do is just talk a little bit about the reaction from both managers and get your thoughts on what they had to share and if it matches up what you watched. So let's start with Mick McCarthy. This is after the match. This is what he said right after the match. This is actually on the Ipswich Town website. I'm right here now, and I'm just going to read it to you. This here are some quotes from Mick. Quote, "I can't say we were particularly good, but I got to give credit to Fulham. They are a good team and played very well on the day. That was the best display I've seen from a visiting team here this season. We didn't help ourselves with the goals. We gave the ball away in the final third, and they break away and get a corner that leads to the second goal. We didn't mark from the corner, so that wasn't good enough from us. I've not really seen the first goal yet. It was poor allowing them to break on us after we gave the ball away. And Martin didn't power in the free kick, but I need to look at it again. It was always going to be difficult when we went behind. They moved the ball around well. I changed it at halftime. We started okay, but I've got no complaints. They fully deserved the win. It's not all about them, though. I would have expected us to compete a lot better than we did. That disappointed me, and it's a difficult time for all of us at this moment." Okay, Max, those are comments, quotes from Mick McCarthy after the match. He has, I guess you could say, very nice things to say about Fulham, and it's funny because this seems like a broken record. We keep hearing from managers, from fans saying, "We're the best team that they played at, you know, at our venue. We're the best team, you know, that they played against." So this is becoming a common thing. What are your thoughts about what Mick McCarthy said after the match?
I'd have to agree with Mick. Actually, the Fulham fans are giving you a bit of stick in the away-ends with some chance of you're getting sacked in the morning. because really, I mean, the performance was poor from Ipswich. I think he's completely right that they really didn't compete. It was at home. It was Boxing Day. They should be up for the match. They really weren't. And, I mean, we do have a knack of going to places and just playing very well away and showing teams up at their own place. And the difference today was just the opposition wasn't quite up to it. And we did really move the ball around well. I think that's the main difference between us and Ipswich. We have a more possession-based style of play, whereas they go much more direct, and we had much more success on Boxing Day. And I think he does have to look at his own team because there was really lack of fight. I expect to be a much more physical game, but they really sat back and laid off for them, and that, again, made it easy for us. So,
see, now, I've only seen the highlights, and I'm sure I will see this on the replay, but I found it very interesting, just from the highlights that I saw, that they weren't, you know, that they were basically letting us play, Max. Did that have more to do with Fulham just playing, or was this really just their approach as well? Was it a combination of both, or is this more about Fulham just taking it to them and they just couldn't do anything about it? Because, you know, again, of the highlights I saw, they weren't pressing us. They weren't trying to get the ball from us. We were dictating the play. Would that be accurate?
It was really odd. Yeah, I think that would be accurate. And that was odd. The odd fact was that, I mean, everyone could see in the few moments in the match where Fulham looked dangerous is when they actually put pressure on us, because almost every goal kick, every chance Button had the ball at his feet or after making a save, he always looked to play the two center backs moved out wide, Ream and Maddo, and he always looked for them as outlets. And especially with Ream and Button, they had some nervy moments when they passed it back. Ream lost it a couple of times, had to evade the striker. And that's when Fulham looked most vulnerable, when they actually put pressure on us. And I was really surprised they didn't do that more often, because that's where I think they would have found joy. But they really sat back off us, and I don't know whether it's down to the manager or the tactics, or the players just weren't really up to it, but it was odd. And I mean, it would work for Fulham. I wish every team would play us like that, because that's, I think, where we can really impose our style of play and get some joy.
Right, very good. And let me just emphasize one more time. I've only seen the highlights, but it, just in the quick highlights, it just you could see it, and that's why I wanted to ask you, because you've obviously seen the match. Was this a theme, especially in the first half, Max? It sounds like it was a theme. When he changed in the second half, they had more emphasis to basically come at us a little bit more. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree, because McGoldrick and Best, two strikers, put in a bit of energy, and they made the step, and they got their best chance in the second half. One thing I'd like to say about Fulham's tactical switch is they did switch from the beginning formation, the starting lineup, and it was actually quite interesting, because I was surprised. Around 65 minutes, Jokanović took out Aluka.
That's right.
One of our brightest attacking players, and I was I think everyone in the way was kind of surprised when they saw he's taking off Aluka, an attacker, and putting on Ragnar Sigurdsson, a center back. But what they did was they changed to a 3-5-2 with Aite and Martin up top, and Sigurdsson, Model, and Ream as center backs, and Malone and Odoi as wingbacks. And that system really opened up the game for us, and that's where we had our best spell of the game, because the attacking full Odoi and Malone, I think, could have been easily my men of the match, because they were brilliant all the game. Got forward, put in great crosses. And Sigurdsson added steel to the back. And it kind of nullified the two up top from Ipswich. And so after we went to 3-5-2, it went even better for Fulham.
See, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I was going to mention that when we go through both observations of the halves, because I think that's a key moment to look at, Max, is that, you know, again, I was looking at it when I looked back and looked at the match report. I was like, What did they do here? You know, what did they do here? And it turns out that it was what you just said. It was a tactical move. Sounds like based on what McCarthy did, he was matching what McCarthy did, and it worked. And obviously, you know, he was playing back the same system. So once he did that, it sounds like to me, Max, that like you just said, things changed, and then eventually we got the goal. Isn't this when we started to have some of our best play in the second half, when he did make this change?
Exactly, yeah, and the change, I can credit to Jokanović, because that's another one of the upsides of having as a manager, is that his tactical changes mid-match have been, for the most part, very good, and they give us the upper hand, because, I mean, I could have easily seen in the Fulham we've come to know over the past 3 years, maybe, us going 1-0 up, having all the chances, not capitalizing, then not really reacting to the switch, having Ipswich get back, get the home crowd behind them, get a goal, and maybe go on to win the match. But I think what's really different about this Fulham team, and something that's very nice to see, is that we don't fold under pressure, and we can adapt. We go on to win these matches that are really crucial.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Very good. All right. Looks like we are joined by Mr. Yanis Janaeus. Yanis, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
Yanis, how are you doing, my friend? On the line with us is Max in England.
Hey, Max, how's it going? My apologies, because my rented MacBook decided to do install software updates, and it's just finished now. So I'm delighted to be on the show. Delighted.
Okay, static. Well, listen. We were just going through the comments of Mick McCarthy. He had some glowing things to say about Fulham. And also talking about basically just Max's overall thoughts. Now, I'm assuming you've seen the highlights, Yanis.
Yes.
And I just want to get your thoughts on the result and what you watched in the quick highlights. We haven't watched the replay yet, but just overall thoughts on this result for Fulham.
Well, I hate losing to Fulham. You know what? Few things. I mean, I've always had a lot of time and respect for Ipswich Town as a club, for those of us old enough to remember the success in the 80s. And Mick McCarthy, I think, is an excellent manager. And if you can go away from home to Portman Road and restrict them to no shots on target, I think that's everything you need to know. It's obviously an excellent performance. And it's an excellent result. And I think it's tremendous for McCarthy to be as magnanimous as he was to talk about the fact that you know, we played very, very well, and, you know, we deserve the win. It's a very, very good result. An important one as well. I mean, today's result being the way it is, of course, now we're down into we're into eighth place, but with Reading on the horizon, and you know they're probably in a very ornery mood after we thumped them at the Cottage. This was a good result, but an important result nonetheless, so at least we can going with some New Year's cheer into a ground and Medeski where, with the right lineup, I don't see any reason why we can't pick up 3 points.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. Right back to you. One of the things we've been talking about, just an overall view of this match, was the tactical change by both managers. Mick McCarthy, at halftime, brought on Leon Best and David McGoldrick and actually went to a 3-5-2. And I believe around the 65th minute, Savisa made a change. He brought on Ragnar Sigurdsson and took off Sonny Aluko to match him to go 3-5-2. And Max was just talking about how that's when we had our, basically, some of our best spell in the second half was after he made that switch. What are your thoughts about Savisa matching wits with Mick and actually coming out on top here? Because it sounds like the switch to a 3-5-2 for Ipswich Town helped them to begin the second half, but then Savisa made his own change, and then we moved up, we pushed on from that point on. Thoughts on the tactical battle here?
Top-notch coaching from both coaches. Obviously, McCarthy's seen some at halftime he doesn't like. He doesn't like the amount of possession we had first half. McGoldrick is a tricky player, and he's always tended to give us lots of problems. Best can be a handful at the best of times, and he's waited 20 minutes, and he's made the tactical change. It was great to bring Sigurdsson on. Sigurdsson's been a little bit in and out, but I think scoring a goal yesterday will give him a lot of confidence, which is probably good timing as well. And I think that's the mark of good coaching is where, or good coaching at that particular level where you can adjust to the nuances of change of formation. Because what McCarthy did is he didn't just switch it from the 4-5-1 over to 3-5-2. It's formational change and it's personnel change as well. So credit to both coaches, because McCarthy's decided that something different needs to happen and he's not just stood pat, which I think is excellent. And Slava deserves a lot of credit because he's seen something he's not comfortable with and Ipswich are asking more questions. He's countered it, and it's reaped dividends, which is good. And I mean, Ipswich are having a little bit of a struggle at the moment. I think they're slightly better than their record would suggest, but they do have an excellent manager, and there aren't many in the division that I'd say that tactically are as aware as these two managers are. So it was good to see a good battle of wills. Great that we came up on top, but you don't often see that where they're going to, you see the top coaches try and counter like that. So it was good to see.
Yeah, and again, we haven't watched it, but when I was going through all the match reports and seeing everything that was said about this match, because I just saw this, Giannis, I saw the switch and I was like, why is he bringing on Ragnar Sigurdsson and taking off Sonny Aluko? But then of course I read more and learned more about what happened here. And it really was to basically match Mick, and it worked. And that's the bottom line. He's not afraid to change. And I think that's what's really good about Savisa. If something isn't working, he's going to change it. And I like that about him, that he's willing to do something like that. And obviously, in this case, it sounds like it worked. All right.
For sure.
All right. Let's now go through his reaction after the match. I want to get both of your thoughts, and then we'll break down the match. And Max, I'll go to you. I'm just going to read some quotes from Savisa, and then I'll go to you, Giannis. Yeah, this is from the head coach reaction. These are the words of Savisa Jokanović. Quote, "We're very happy with how we played today. It's a very good boxing day for us. We won a very important 3 points to continue fighting towards our targets. We secured another clean sheet. We dominated the game. And Ipswich didn't have any shots on target. This is good news for us. We created many, many chances, but didn't score the second goal in the moments where we were dominant. But in the end, we scored this goal to close the game out. We changed the system when we started to have some kind of problem, and it's a great day for us. We tried to put the ball on the floor. We tried to be brave, tried to move the ball, tried to follow our style. I believe my team has the kind of quality, so we tried to show our strengths and not our weaknesses." And then it just ends with this. I'll just read from the article. "The victory moved the Whites to within a point of the playoff spots. I was obviously before the results today. But Jokanović reiterated his stance that he is not looking that far ahead. Quote, I know what the targets are for this club are. I know what our supporters want. But I prefer thinking about short steps. I prefer to think about the Reading game, which is in front of us. This is the new chance to fight for 3 points. We'll know in May if we're in the top six or not, but right now we're working and preparing for what is immediately in front of us. Giannis, this sounds right out of the book of Bill Belichick, honestly, these quotes.
Yeah.
But I will go to you, Max. What I find interesting of these quotes, just one that really stands out to me, play to our strengths and not, you know, show our strengths and not our weaknesses. I find that very interesting. I want to get your thoughts on that and just overall what he shared after the match.
Yeah, I think in that whole little quote showed that his philosophy really is supreme, because he said he really emphasizes the fact that we want to put the ball on the floor. We want the possession style. We're not going to go route one when things are going tough. And I think that's really admirable, because easily could have gone when you're under a bit of pressure, just ditch the game plan of trying to build up from the back and pass up from Budden, just hoof it every time. But we didn't do that, and we maintained playing with the center backs and passing out of the back. And that, in the end, is what won us the match, and that was what was working, and he stuck with it. And I think that's credit to Jokanović in that respect. And Ipswich didn't have any answer for it, really, and we just had more skill than them on the day. I think another player who's fantastic was Johansson. He's been amazing. In the past month, he's been on great form. He broke up every single attack they had and really was a catalyst for every counter Fulham had as well, putting in a number of good balls from out wide and also feeding in Martin and Ayite on a number of occasions. So, yeah, we really played to our strengths, hide our weaknesses, and that's what gotten us unbeaten in their last five matches.
Okay, very good there, my friend. And Giannis, over to you. I find these quotes very interesting from Savisa, you know, talking about playing to our strengths and really not showing our weaknesses. That's very interesting. But what I also find interesting is playing to his style. He changes the formation, but really, the style doesn't change. The approach doesn't change. He's just changing the pieces around a little bit, moving things around. But we're still on the front foot. We are still going for it. We are playing the way Slavisa Jokanović wants Fulham to play. So we're sticking to it. And what's also interesting, he has not changed from this. It's one match at a time for this guy.
Yeah, it's Belichick. It's Belichick over again. It's a man in total and utter control. And he knows what he wants. He knows how he's going to get it. And I think it makes it so much easier when you've got a situation where the fans, you've obviously got the backing of the club, but you've also got you've got the backing of the fans. And I know near the end of the show, we can talk about it. That I mean, who would be a head coach? You know, we can play, we can prognosticate, and we can be pundits all we want. But I think it's been a funny and dark last 24 hours in football, in terms of football management. And sometimes I think you know, Slava had his issues at the start. Obviously, it wasn't easy. But it's a very, I remember Brian Clough saying that, you know, management is a very, very lonely job. You've got 20,000 people there cheering you on, but then 20 minutes after the end of the game, there's nobody in the stadium. And you go back into your little office after you've had your media huddle. And, but it makes it a little bit more palatable when you've got the support of the club and you've got the support of the fans. And he's keeping his feet on the ground, much like Belichick has for many, many years at the Patriots. And it's certainly reaped dividends. So I'm very pleased for Slav, and I'm pleased for the club. But, you know, I'm sure with where we are in the table now, he's probably sniffing blood a little bit, looking at the results and looking at the fixtures come back and saying, well, if we're halfway through the season now. We're in the sort of position we want. We would love to have been in the start, and we can make a real run at this.
It's very interesting how this is building. The one thing that Fulham need to do, Giannis, I've been checking the fixtures coming up, they need to go on a run. They need to go on a 4-5 game winning run. And it's there for them in January and February. I'm looking at it. You know, there are matches there that they have the ability to go on a run. They need to go on a run. But what's interesting for Savisa, really, he's not looking at it like that. He's looking at it. It's next chance to get 3 points. I like that about him. He's not looking that far ahead like we are. He's looking at just one match at a time. I like his approach. All right, Max, it's now time for you to walk us through this match. Let's start with your first half observations. I just jotted down some key moments, and then you can walk through what you saw. Like you and I talked to start the show, Fulham really came out and were the aggressor here, really dominated the play. Let's just start with a key moment in the 32nd minute. This is a great cross from Scott Malone that led to a shot from Chris Martin, but Bielkowski, the goalkeeper for Ipswich Town, was definitely on his game here because that was a great save by him. That could have very easily been 1-0. That was a nice save by Bielkowski. This is followed up by a corner from Stefan Johansson that Kevin McDonald unfortunately got the ball underneath his feet and couldn't really get a decent shot off here, and the ball goes wide. But then you have the goal in the 36th minute from Chris Martin. Free kick, nice free kick here, makes it 1-0 for Fulham. And then a little bit later on, in the 45th minute, Kevin McDonald has another opportunity to score, but cannot convert there. So Fulham going into the half up 1-0. And as we've talked about, and I'm sure you're going to back up here, it sounds like they dominated the play. So share with us your observations of the first half, my friend.
Yeah, I completely agree. Total domination. Very surprised, in fact, because going to Portman Road, never an easy match, and especially being away, you don't expect to have this level of possession. And it was kind of an odd feeling, just being completely dominant. We've known have poor form of it away in the past, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. It was a very nice change. Yeah, they really bossed possession without any meaningful chances for probably the first half an hour. But that Martin chance, you said, that was a great chance. Malone, again, a great example of how he was so productive on the left wing, and he's been a revelation. He's the fact that Fredericks and Sessegnon are being kept out of the team is a testament to how well he's done. And just take a moment to realize how good that Malone-Jazz Richards swap was. I mean, we're completely reaping the dividends of that. And yeah, Martin's free kick goal. Brilliant, brilliant strike. Quite far out, and it was got over the wall perfectly. Bielkowski didn't even move on that. That was a brilliant goal. And also towards the end of the half, I'm not sure if this is on the highlights, but there was a floated ball in, best chance Ipswich had of the match, and coincidentally wasn't even their player. Floated in, and Tim Ream headed it back towards goal, and Budden had to claw that out for a corner. Almost an own goal there. That was probably 2 minutes before halftime. But yeah, Fulham completely dominant first half and really deserved the 1-0 lead.
Okay. Did you feel that that maybe we let some opportunities go in the first half? We've had this situation before, Max, where you go in the half. What were you feeling at halftime? Were you feeling like, oh no, we've only scored one goal?
Not really, because I agree. There have been so many times in the past where it's like, oh, we've only scored one goal. What's going to happen when that late push comes from the other team and we've only have one goal cushion? That has been there in the past. But this match, really, because we're so dominant and Ipswich had offered so little in attack, I didn't feel nervous at all. I felt, if anything, we're going to get the second goal, it's going to be game over, because it wasn't as if they had threatened on the counter. It wasn't as if they had some chances and showed some glimmer of hope. There's really nothing in attack. So actually pretty comfortable for the 1-0 lead. Just wanted the second one as soon as possible.
Okay, very good. Giannis, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on what Max just shared about the first half. We also talked before you jumped on the line that the approach by the Ipswich Town players, they were a little passive here. And I know Fulham dominated the play, but they seemed to be playing off. For whatever reason, they were not coming at Fulham at all, which was a little surprising, because teams that seem to have the best chances to play against us come at us. And that was not the approach here. Did that have to do more with Fulham than Ipswich Town? Possibly. But for some reason, their approach was not aggressive. So I just want to mention that Max and I talked a little bit about that to begin the show. So what are your thoughts about what Max shared about his first half observations?
Well, it appears to me that Ipswich Town played a little bit nervous, and that might be indicative of the recent results they've had as well. They've not been in a great run of form, and sometimes you're coming out. Sometimes when you've got the Boxing Day games, you know, there are two ways you can look at it. If you've got a big home crowd, you can feed off the home crowd energy, or conversely, it can make players nervous. And by the sounds of things, they played a little nervous in the first half, and Ipswich are a good side, but when you're on a difficult run, things can go belly up. Things that normally wouldn't go wrong, little mistakes wouldn't normally be punished. And Ipswich are a decent free-flowing team, and unfortunately they're not playing with that much confidence at the moment, and even in front of their home fans. But credit to our lads. I mean, he's put out a pretty good lineup, and you got players like Ryan Frederick sitting on the bench. I mean, he'd make most starting lineups in the division, I would dare say. And I'm glad that our little friend Jazz Richards was mentioned, although the world may officially have come to an end because Darren Bent actually scored today. So, I mean, mind you, that was from the penalty spot. But they played a little nervous. And you know what? We're playing with a lot of confidence. And there have been times in the last 3-4 years, as you know, where we've not been able to do a bloody thing right. And we've come out flat as pancakes at the Cottage. And unfortunately, we found ourselves, a goal or two down before we could, the whistle's even blown. And they're just on a little bit of a rut at the moment. But luckily, we were able to take advantage of that. And away wins in this division are difficult enough as it is. And Ipswich isn't, Portman Road isn't one of the the ground where we should be able to. It's a small stadium, but it's an intimidating one. The stands are pretty close to the pitch, and so it can be intimidating. But Ipswich looked a little bit out of sorts. And luckily, we were able to take advantage of that. And certainly the first half, I think the stats bore that. Hey, Russ, 90 minutes, no shots on target. I mean, that in itself is an indictment. It's an incredible statistic because I remember 2-3 years ago when we went down to St. Mary's Stadium to play Southampton, where we didn't even have a shot on net. And I remember that like it was yesterday. But at least that was away from home. Yeah. If there's any excuse for that. But to do it in front of your home fans, I mean,
that's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a bit of a struggle for them, and I do like Ipswich, so I think they'll turn it around, but at the moment they're having a bit of a fight.
It's funny, Giannis, you reminded me of matches with no shots on target. There was also a match against West Ham, similar
yes.
thing.
Yes. Lest we forget.
Yeah, that was the end of Martin Yol, was that West Ham match. I'll never forget that. Okay, enough talking about that. Let's now move to the second half. And like we talked about the beginning of the show, the double substitution was key for Ipswich Town coming into the second half. Leon Best and David McGoldrick come on, and Ipswich Town changed to a 3-5-2 and were more aggressive based on what you said, Max, to begin the second half. They were definitely better to start the second half. But before I get your observations and I go through some more key moments, I want to ask you both about something that happened in the 60th minute. I want to get your thoughts on this. Max, I'll go to you first, and then I'll go to you, Giannis. So I just want to talk about this because I've watched this several times, and I want to get your view on this, Max, and then Giannis, to you. Chris Martin puts the ball in the back of the net, but obviously it's not a goal because of a foul by Dennis Adoy leading up to it. And this actually started with a shot by Floyd Ayite. I've watched this several times, Max. Did you get a view of this situation with Dennis Adoy?
Yeah, it was actually right in front of the away fans, so we had the perfect view. Completely shocking decision by the referee. We really let him have it after this one because completely fair shoulder-to-shoulder challenge. Adoy just won it fair and square, stronger than the Ipswich defender. And, of course, he teed Martin up to put the ball in the back of the net, and the referee ruled it off.
Yep.
I don't know why. It was really an awful decision. And a goal then we really, really would have made the match.
Yeah.
But that was an unfortunate decision by the referee.
Yeah, when I watched this, I could not believe it. I thought this was a harsh decision by the ref. And, Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this because I watched this several times. I was like, is he watching the same thing I'm watching? Your thoughts about this situation?
Yeah, it's an odd decision. It is an odd decision. I mean, for years we've been talking about the need for our officials to be, fully professional, and it still bogs the mind that we've got millionaires running around on a pitch, and you've got officials that aren't even full time professional. I think it's an indictment with all the money that you've got, that all this pressure is put on officials that are on the money they are, and I can't believe I'm actually defending them. It was a poor decision, but I do think that. Officials are under a lot of pressure. It was a daft one, and it could have been a game changer. Luckily it wasn't. But I've got to, I mean, I could have a separate moan about this because just for, as a side issue, the one thing that's bothered me for many, many years is that the lack of, you know, decision being poor that it was, the lack of the lack of respect shown for officials. You look at so many sports, you know, I'm thinking obviously NFL, you and I are familiar with. Yep. Certainly rugby, yep. Rugby may be the best example I can think of where you see zero tolerance for disrespect towards officials, zero, and you've got a sin bin and it's done for the right reasons, and these officials are under so much pressure that even they're human, they get it wrong. It was a wrong call. Sure. I didn't see the foul, but they are still human, and sometimes I think we you know, we'll moan and we'll scream and we'll yell and we'll shout, but they're still human, and they don't get paid that much money to do what they do for 90 minutes, and they've missed the call, and they take it seriously. And I'm not sure what he was looking at there, but he's given it was a lovely goal as well. But luckily, it didn't end up affecting the scoreline.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, I'm now just going to share a couple more key moments, and then Max, you'll walk us through the rest of the second half. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, I think a key moment, and definitely want your thoughts on this again, Max, is in the 65th minute. Ragnar Sigurdsson comes on for Sone Aluko, and then Fulham go 3-5-2, which is matching up with what Ipswich Town were doing at that point. So that was in the 65th minute. Then in the 69th minute, you have the opportunity by Floyd Ayite. And Max, I've watched this several times. I don't know how he missed this, but he did miss this. This was set up beautifully by Stefan Johansson. And then about another 8 minutes after that, Ayite is denied on another opportunity by Bielkowski. This was a decent shot, but nice save by Bielkowski. However, the next minute off of the corner, you have the goal by Ragnar Sigurdsson to make it 2-0, and Fulham go on for the 2-0 victory. They see it out. All right, Max, walk us through the second half, my friend.
Yeah, you mentioned this couple of chances for Ayite, and it really was so surprising considering the form he's been on. I think he had 4 goals in his last 4 matches up until Ipswich, and just chances you expect him to take. And for me, he totally would have been man of the match if he had at least scored one of these, because he was bright, he was energetic. His pace caused Ipswich problems all afternoon. And if he just had his finishing boots on, it would have been a much, much better day out there in East Anglia. But yeah, every player has their off days, and in the end, it's lucky the finishes, the missed chance didn't cost us too much. What I would say is, in the upcoming match, especially against Reading and then against Brighton in the next 2 games, Fulham are going to need to take those opportunities if they're going to want to get 3 points, if they're going to want to move up into the playoff places, because you can't afford to squander those type of chances against the better sides in the division. But of course, the second goal was crucial, and great feeling. A set-piece goal, really powerful header, and it came exactly the right time, just as when kind of the unease was setting in, and that's when Fulham were vulnerable. So second half was great, and some great chance of jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun to see Fulham win away. Great afternoon. Uh-huh.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Giannis, your thoughts on Max's observations of the second half?
Bang on the money. Bang on the money. I mean, we carried on from the first half. We dictated the play. We were the better side, as Mookmooker, they said. And we fully deserved the win. And it's, while Max was talking, I was just thinking to myself, what an exciting time to be a Fulham fan. Look at the 2 games we've got coming up.
Yeah.
Look at the two. What fantastic. Brighton, I said it several weeks ago, Brighton are going to win this division. I think they're the best team. People have been going on about Newcastle United, all the money, Dwight Gale. No. Brighton have arguably the best manager in Chris Hughton, and pound for pound the best team, and they're top for a reason. I mean, they demolished the Ha-Ha's today, and those are two fantastic litmus tests for exactly where we are, which is absolutely perfect because the transfer deadline opens up, you know, deadline day opens up, the window opens up in 4 days. So this is great. And of course, because we're losing Cabano and Ayite,
yeah,
coming up now, and Slav has already talked about the need to sort of replace them. He's evaluating the squad, and these are going to be 2 games that will really tell us where we are right now in terms of the push. If you look at teams 3 through 6, the only team out of that 3 through 6 who I'm going to say, yeah, that I fancy are Reading, funnily enough. I don't think Leeds are that good. I don't. Sheffield Wednesday, well, you know, superb win yesterday up at St James's Park. Not so sure about them. I think we've got the quality. I really do. And the top two are running away with it like greyhounds. But there's no reason why we can't finish 3rd through 6. And if you get in the playoffs, of course, anything goes. But I think we've got the quality there for sure. So this is a wonderful time to be a Fulham fan, and the new year, and then you've got the cup game against against Cardiff City, so it's excellent. But we're playing with a lot of confidence, and I think the second half Russ showed that we're not scared to go at them, these teams. And as I said, to do it away from home in a difficult stadium, I think is doubly good as well.
Okay, very good, Giannis. Giannis, I'm going to give you a very interesting stat because we're talking about the table, and I think you're going to appreciate this. You might already know this. The only teams that have losses less than Fulham, well, the only team is Brighton Hove Albion with 2 losses.
And Villa have 5, team, I think.
Villa have 5, next yeah. Next team is Fulham and Aston Villa of all teams.
Yeah.
I mean, that is unbelievable, Giannis.
I think it's tremendous, and it's funny because I was looking at that table about an hour ago, and I noticed the Villa thing, because Villa, I think, have 10 draws. Villa fans have been moaning and groaning, but they're actually not in a bad position right now. They're in a they're a difficult team to beat, and they're in a position where they could make a real they have the quality to make a real run, and they should have, with the umbrella payments, they should have the money to make a couple of astute signings in the deadline. But yeah, 5 defeats is in 23 games is excellent.
Yeah.
I think it's where Slava will need to look now is the position we've been in certain games where we've had the opportunity to close it out and we've not done it. And I think that's really, you can relate that to scoring. You know, you go a goal up, that's where the danger is. If we go 2 goals up, I think it's game over, but it's just a matter of getting a second goal or going 3-1 up or whatever it's going to be. So 5 defeats is excellent. And hell, you know the old saying, unlike, you know, obviously with NFL, you unless you go through overtime and it ends up as a draw, if you don't concede a goal, you'll never lose a game.
That's right.
And, you know, we're defensively, even, I mean, Callas is a big loss. But I'm sure that reinforcements might be on the way. And I like our back four. The only question mark, we've talked about this, is Button. I'm still, like a number of fans, on the fence here. Has Slava got a little, trick up his sleeve? Irony of ironies that the best team in the division has, you know, Stockdale in that, for crying out loud. I mean, it's... You know, I always liked Stockdale. Infuriating, but nonetheless, 5 defeats I think is excellent. And I think every Fulham fan would have taken that at the start of the season. At this stage, anyway.
I mean, when you look at it, you know, I was looking at the table and I saw someone else mention this that it's us and Aston Villa and then Brighton and that's it, and everyone else has more losses than we do. Newcastle has 6 losses. You know, that's look wrong. At that. You know, I mean, that's impressive. That tells me that it's all about turning these draws into victories, because we're not that far off. But also, Aston Villa could say the same thing. They could exactly say the same thing because they're in the same situation. They only have 5 losses as well. All right. Yeah. All right, guys. Let's now go and let's look at the stats. And what do the stats tell us? I will start with you, Max. I'm going to give you the overall stats for this match, and just let me know what stands out to you. Possession, 61-39% in favor of Fulham. Total shots, 15-3 in favor of Fulham. This one I know is going to stand out. On target, 6 for Fulham, none for Ipswich Town. Corners, 7-4 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 18-15 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 11-9 in favor of Fulham. Attempted passes, 591-374 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 254-102 in favor of Fulham. passing accuracy. Good number for Fulham, 80%, 64% for Ipswich Town. Accurate passes, 473 to 242 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels, 27 to 20 in favor of Fulham. Fouls, 14 for Ipswich Town, 11 for Fulham. Max, to you first. What stands out to you from the full-time stats?
I think it's obvious to everyone. And almost, I think in every stat that you just read out, Fulham came out on top. And that's just a great sign. That's an indication of how well Fulham played. Another one that really stood out for me was attacking passes, which Fulham had more than double. And of course, passes in general attempted just much more for Fulham as well, which really showed kind of the way the game went, where Fulham really had the measured and positive display of passing, and Ipswich really were more hit and hope, really, with long balls and Route 1 football. I'll give another stat for you, Russ. I got a stat for you. Last time Fulham won on Boxing Day was 2013. Fulham was still in the Premier League. They beat Norwich 2-1 in East Anglia. And Rennie Meulensteen was manager back then. So a lot can change in 3 years, yeah.
Very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Max. Okay. Yeah. Giannis, over to you. What stands out to you from the full-time stats?
Well, I'm amazed that Delia Smith still has a career, but that's another matter altogether. I can't stand the woman. She's got to go. Zero shots conceded. I think is absolutely sensational. I mean, there isn't a fan in the land that wouldn't want that. That in itself is a remarkable statistic, and even more so because it's away from home. It really does tell you where, and not meant as an inappropriate statement. We've heard it a billion times. The players are drinking the Kool-Aid, and they're all on the same page. They're all reading from the same Bible, and they're all committed. We've got. A really nice squad here with a management team that obviously there's a lot of faith in each other. The fans are really, really happy. The attendances have been really good, and we're getting results that are reflective of the change, not just in personnel, but the change in culture at the club. And if you think that really we went through 3 years of toxicity with the roundabout of coaches. And not all the firings, and I'll talk about this at the end, that, the firings you could question and who'd be a coach, and Yol and Moonenstein and Kit Simons and our friend Felix. But it's a really, really delicate balance at times. How does someone like Conte going to Chelsea and got on this ridiculous run that he's on right now where they're playing out of their absolute skin. He's got players like Costa playing like, world beaters, and they're looking at such a quality side. And yet at the other end of the table, you've got teams like Hull City who aren't necessarily a bad side, but just look completely lost at sea. And that's because the players have got to put it in, but you've got to, everybody has to be on the same page. And that's the mark of a quality. Hey, you've been through it with the Patriots.
Yes.
Year in, year out. I mean, it's consistency,
and they have to buy in, Giannis. They have to buy in.
They have to buy in.
This team is buying in, and they're gelling together, and you can see that. And that's glad that you're bringing this up, because we go back to the beginning of the season and we're looking at them, and they go through that tough spell. But I'm also thinking to myself, Giannis, that I've already seen the improvement, and I just thought it was just a matter of the team coming together and having all the pieces fit together. They're all now fitting together.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. We've said this for weeks and weeks. We're close. This is one of the most eagerly awaited transfer windows in years for us. Not saying we've got to get players because we have to stay up, or, whether it was in the Premier League or in the Championship, but Nick, who can we get that's maybe going to put us over the top? And it's going to have to be someone who's better than, he's going to want to bring in maybe possibly one or two players that will be better than the starting lineup that he has now, which is exciting. And the question then becomes, who's out there? Now, he knows, of course. He's got his ears close to the ground. But as I said, these are really exciting times for the club. And I think the result yesterday is a microcosm of how things are going right now for the club. And with two, I'm not going to say massive, but really exciting games coming up. This is fantastic, and I'm certainly chomping at the bit.
No, listen, it's a great time to be a Fulham supporter, and you bring up a good point when we talk about the January transfer window, Giannis. I truly believe I'm glad that you said this. I don't think he's bringing in players just to be squad players. I think he's trying
No.
to find impact players that are potentially could be better than what he has already that he's trying to bring in. And we'll see. I mean, that's what makes this upcoming window very exciting because I agree with you there. I don't think he's looking just to add to the squad. I think he's trying to put us over the top. And that is exciting. Very good point by you, my friend. Very good point.
Very,
I'm glad you
very
brought
exciting
that
for
up.
sure.
Max, I want to go to you. Definitely want your thoughts on the January transfer window. And also, to end, definitely want your full man of the match and also want a rating for Slavisa from 0 to 10.
I don't know how much I said before I broke out last time, but I was just talking about how it was interesting how two of the big name signings we got in August, or last summer, Niskin Scabano and Hozabed, both have barely featured at all in our recent revival. I think that's an interesting point showing how strong the squad is and how those two great players can't even get a look in at the moment. And I think we do have to strengthen January. I agree with everything Giannis said a couple moments ago. And if we get players that are even better than our starting lineup now, that's going to be so exciting in the push for the playoffs in the second half of the season. And I think we can only go up from there.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's now get your man of the match. Who's your man of the
Sure,
match
my
against
yeah,
Ipswich
my.
Town?
Yeah, my man of the match has to be Stefan Johansson. I think he's
Okay.
everywhere today. He's showing how he's probably one of the best signings we got over the summer. Really an all-action in the center midfield. Goals nearly had one himself. And he went down injured a couple minutes and really showed how much of a warrior he really is. So he's my man of the match.
Okay, very good. And Slavisa, rate him from 0 to 10.
I'd say 9. I think he was pretty good today. Sorry, a couple of days ago. He had that great tactical switch in the 3-5-2. I think the starting 11 was pretty solid, and the most important thing, he got the 3 points. So yeah, great job, Slavisa.
Okay, very good. All right, to end the show, want your final thoughts? So before I go to Giannis, your final thoughts before we go, Max.
Then the show, I have to say, is probably the best time to be a film fan for as long as I can remember. Maybe since we're in the, probably for the past 5 years, this is the first time we've actually been at the top half of the table, probably since 2012-13 season. First time been winning match of the way. First time there's a real positive feeling around the club, and I think that's really something to be said because we've, Fulham fans, we've undergone a lot of hardship over the past 3 to 4 years. It's finally nice to be winning again. Finally nice to not be battling relegation, but looking up for once.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Very good take. Giannis, your final thoughts?
Couple of things. Firstly, absolutely agree with what Max says. What an exciting time to be a Fulham fan. Can't wait for the Reading game on Friday. Can't wait for the Brighton game. These are great times, and we're beginning to smell blood a little bit, and with the potential of getting to the playoff, which would be Russ, we can fulfill our dream of flying back over the pond and going and cheering the lads on.
Absolutely.
I'm going to end the comments with a couple of, and I'm not going to, sad things are not Hollywood, although I'm very sorry that George Michael passed.
Sure.
That's my generation, and it's and
Mine
huge talent.
too.
But a couple of negatives here. The first thing I think will be close to your heart a little bit here, Russ, and that's the firing of Bob Bradley at Swansea City.
Yep.
I have to
Happy
tell you,
to.
I'm thoroughly disgusted with what's happened down there. I mean, he's lasted 85 days. He's won two games. A thoroughly good manager, a thoroughly good man in a shithole of a club with really poor squad, with fans who conveniently forget. I mean, I actually played against Swansea City many, many, many years ago, something I've never shared with you. I actually played against them in university in the Welsh Cup. And I remember how dilapidated that club was. They used to play at the Vetch Field. And it was a couple of years later that they nearly folded. And, they've come so far in so many years. And I know they got American ownership, but Bradley is a very, very good manager. And how anybody could have expected him to try and replicate what is, a really poor squad. And the treatment he's been given, I think it's been nothing less than disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. And you know what? I'll say it publicly. I hope they get bloody well relegated. Because you know what? At the end of the day, managers are humans. I think, you don't become a bad manager overnight. His record speaks for itself. And I feel very bad for the lad. I really, really do. I think he was dealt a harsh deal. The second little moan thing, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I am going to say this, and it's in defence of the QPR manager, Ian Holloway. They lost today to Brighton, as you know, and I love Brighton. I've said, but there was something that Ian Holloway said today that resonated with me. And the BBC asked him, because they've lost six on the trot, and we all have a laugh at the ha-has, that's fine. But he said something, he was asked about the Brighton fans singing "You're Getting Sacked" in the morning. And I thought I'd repeat what he said, because it's just a gentle reminder sometimes that, you know what, life is precious, but sometimes you've got to be careful in terms of, you know, managers are still humans, they've got families to go home to. I know Ian Holloway has special needs kids at home as well. So you're going to sometimes, you know, you have to temper the enthusiasm. And he said, quote, on response, he said, "That's nice, isn't it? I hope you enjoy your Christmas and your New Year. Why don't you sing something better and different? I didn't mean to beat you in the playoffs, brackets, with Crystal Palace in 2013. Why don't you show a bit of respect? But that is life in football these days." And I have to agree with him. I really do. I think sometimes as fans, you know, we want our team to win and da-da-da. But when a coach gets fired, yeah, they get paid good money, but that still has a massive impact on the person. Is the stigma of losing their job. There's also the stigma of loss of money, but also in terms of impact to families. Bob Bradley is a very, very good coach. He's going to get another job. And I think he will end up with the Premier League at some point. I think he's a good enough coach. Ian Holloway, we can laugh all we want, but I think his point is well made here. And sometimes I think with the new year coming up, you know, we do well to remember that the players that are out there on the field and the coaches and the backroom staff are just like us, and they are human. And decisions that are made that involve their livelihood can have, you know, extreme dramatic effects. And sometimes, although we're the paying public, we would maybe do well, you know, to be careful of what constitutes banter versus stuff that is actually really personal when you're talking about livelihood that puts food on the table for your families. So I feel very badly for Bob Bradley today. I really, really do. And I think Ian Holloway's comments, I think, are pretty on the mark. Sometimes we really have to remember that. So that's my little negative to end. And I just think because of the new year coming up and we've lost, you know, so many people have died this year and there's personal losses and what have you, sometimes we have to take a step back and reflect on what we've got. And maybe, you know, be a little bit more magnanimous and a little bit more supportive of people that go out there week in, week out, who are, after all, humans and not robots.
Okay, very good there, Yanis. Thank you for sharing all of that. Definitely, thank you for sharing. Always want my co-host to share whatever's on their mind, and I'm happy that you got that off your chest, my friend.
Thank you, Ross.
Not a problem. Anytime, my friend. And listen, it's been a difficult year. I'm just going to end with final thoughts. It's been a difficult year for you, for me, for Emilio. We've all lost our fathers, you know, and that's hard. It's hard. But you know, again, I'm just glad, you know, listen, 2016 is coming to an end. But like both of you are talking about it, 2017 could be very exciting to be a Fulham supporter. That's my final thoughts, is that it's been a tough year for me personally, but I'm looking forward to 2017. So that's how I'm going to end this show. All right, guys.
Hello.
Great show. Great show. Great job by both of you. Max, before we go, tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter and where they can read you.
Sure. You can follow me at Max P. Cohen. And I've just you can read my match report of the Ipswich Fulham match on CottagersConfidential.com.
Okay, very good. Yanis, people need to follow you more. So please tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter.
I'm at Darren Bent couldn't score in a brothel.com. No, that's the other one, sorry. I'm at Yanis Giannitis. So that's Yanis Giannitis, and you know, what I am trying to do as well, Russie. Obviously, you know, I'm a teacher, and lots and lots of Fulham support fans, but also trying to extend out into my beloved Buffalo Bills, and you and I can have a separate conversation about what happened today. Yeah. What a wreck that's turned out to be. If we think things are dysfunctional, but of course you're going to laugh at me because you're a Patriot supporter and you're going to win the division for the next 100 years. There you go.
Okay, very good. Well, Giannis, thank you for mentioning the Buffalo Bills to end the show, but it is time to wrap this up. For Max and Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.